Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person, and all of you who are joining us online. We've got a few announcements this morning. I need to thank whoever sent this t-shirt to me, but there was no gift receipt. So who sent me this fantastic t-shirt this week? It's in the bulletin, been there for weeks. Well, if you sent this to me, please let me know because I want to give you a thank you card. And when I wear it this week, I'll take a picture and send it to you. So thank you for that. Speaking of online, this is just a reminder. If you are not getting the holly leaf in your email every Thursday, please sign up for that. It's intended to be a very easy email for you to scroll through, look at our calendar very briefly, what's going on. It's mostly all the information that's in your bulletin, but it's just in yet another format for you to read through. We have a few things going on. I want to point your attention to a note from Paul and Carolina in the bulletin. They are still home. They're actually watching this morning. They watch every Sunday. Carolina writes, "Thanks to all the members of our church for the many acts of kindness you've shared with us these past few months. May God bless each of you is our prayer. Love, Carolina and Paul." They are so grateful for all that our church family has done for them. And she says there's no way that she could ever thank all of us adequately, but she wants you to know that deep from her heart, she's grateful for all the ways that we love and care for them. At the bottom of the ramp is a calendar. If you are interested in signing up to help fill the blessing box, we're changing it up from doing every month to just every week. You sign up for 1 week, take care of that week, and then you're done. So if you're interested, there's a calendar at the bottom of the ramp to sign up on. I just want you all to know that I have started taking my Sabbath on Mondays. I used to say I took it on Fridays, but it never really happened. Well, Mondays is a much better day for me, so I just wanted you all to know that certainly for pastoral care emergencies or concerns, you can reach out to me even on a Monday. I want you to. But for anything else, just reach out on Tuesday. On Tuesdays. Yes, on Tuesdays, that's right. Next Sunday, you may have heard some mumblings that it's going to be a Scout Sunday. It's not going to be a Scout Sunday in the traditional sense that you're probably used to, because we don't have an active troop anymore. What next Sunday is going to be is a time for us to acknowledge and give thanks for the troop that was here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church, to dedicate the plaque that Boyd had made, to give thanks for Boyd's leadership in mentoring those boys for all of those years. I know he still cares about them and prays for them, and to acknowledge all of the Eagle Scouts from the Holly Grove troop and those of you who are Holly Grovers who got your Eagle from another place. So that will be at the beginning of this service next Sunday. Just wanted to give you a heads up. Heads up. In two Sundays, you're going to love this, Brantley. In two Sundays, we're having a meal after worship. So you can stay and have soup and sandwiches on Super Bowl Sunday. We promise you'll still be home in time for the game, but the fellowship committee is hosting a soup and sandwich lunch. And so for those of you who are treasurers of an account here, you don't have to go home and figure out lunch. You stay, have lunch, and go to your audit. Super Bowl Sunday is a Sunday where there's going to be a really big football game on that afternoon, and we're making it a soup, like the lunch soup, Super Bowl Sunday, so you can have a bowl of soup with us, and so people can give food, donate food to the blessing box that day. Yes, so we'll put all the food that people donate that day in the blessing box. Want to let you all know, Joe Davis had surgery this week to reattach his retina. Everything went well, but he's got a tough recovery ahead of him the next few weeks. Neil Clark is having knee replacement surgery tomorrow. We're going to bless his prayer shawl during the children's sermon. And Bobby Waitman has been in the hospital this week. He's still in the hospital with a few complications they're trying to figure out. But please hold Bobby and Jana in prayer as well. Finally, when it comes to the last prayer of intercession, we often remember the names of those who have died, especially in the past week. This week, there have been three people connected to our community who have died. I want to let you know who they are, so when we pray for them, you know who they are. Daisy Ward Huffman grew up in the Holly Grove community, went to school with Dottie and Bill and Paul Conrad. Connie Carrick is Max's sister-in-law, Kelly's aunt. And Ad Dorsett is Carolina Conrad's brother. He died this week as well. So we have a lot of people in our community who are grieving. I think we're ready for the birthdays, Brantley. We have several birthdays this week. We have Mary Ellen Hinson, Eddie Summers, William Henty, James Palmer, and Megan Murphy. We don't have any anniversaries, but we have two baptisms. Andrew Curry, who's your cousin, and Brody Fritz. Let us pray. You want to do it? Okay.
Bless the children, Lord, has the days in grace. Bless the God that made me send to the sand and call for these or sorrow. Raise the blessed they fall and yet the hearts. May your passes all to say, abide days and lapse. Good Jesus Christ, only. Amen.
Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship. Oh, we have another, excuse me, we have another announcement.
The choir would just like to thank Karen for the flowers that she had on the altar for us. We really enjoy those. And then for someone that left some money in my box, thank you for, we're going to go out to eat this Wednesday night. So we appreciate whoever that was from. So thank y'all all for supporting us. We're a small group, but we do our best.
Yes. Yes, the choir faithfully leads us in worship Sunday in and Sunday out, and although they are smaller this Sunday than usual from traveling and sickness, we're so grateful for all that you do each week. We're going to do the prayer shawls during the children's sermon today. So let us prepare our hearts for worship. Oh, Jane has an announcement. So if you want to support the Special Olympics and help them fundraise for their spring games, and if you want to save yourself from having to cook for a night or two, see Jane after church to get tickets for some homemade soup in order for Special Olympics. Oh, that's wonderful. Well, should we tell the folks to now prepare their hearts for worship as they listen to the prelude? Okay.
Thank you.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, creator of darkness and light, word of truth, wind sweeping over the waters. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. God, our rock and refuge, we pour out our hearts before you. We have known you, but have not always loved you. We have wounded one another and sinned against you. We have not always recognized the Holy Spirit dwelling in each of us. Remember your covenant. Renew your creation. Restore us, that we might proclaim your good news to all. Amen. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. God has spoken. The time of grace is now. In Jesus, the reign of God has come near. By the authority of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. You are God's beloved. Amen. Place where saints and children tell, hearts learn to forgive, built of hopes and dreams that grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Compassionate God, you gather the whole universe into your radiant presence and continually reveal your Son as our Savior. Bring wholeness to all that is broken and speak truth to us in our confusion, that all creation will see and know your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. And I want Hunter Hedrick to come forward because I think there's something he might want to share with us, and he's still a child of God. Now you might notice as Hunter is walking forward that he's wearing a black and gold Appalachian shirt. Is there a reason for that, Hunter? He has been accepted to App and is going to App this fall. Congratulations, buddy. We're so proud of you. So you can stay or you can go away. It's up to you. Okay. So what do I have here on my lap? We have two prayer shawls. And I got to thinking, you know, we pass these around almost every Sunday. And maybe your parents have told you what these are. But I thought maybe we could just do it together up front today. So these are prayer shawls. And we have some people in our congregation who give the yarn for these. And then we have other people who knit or crochet these. Do you know what knitting and crocheting is? Have you ever seen it? Well, crocheting has one needle, knitting has two, and you take the yarn and you do fancy things with those needles, right? Have you seen somebody do that before? And it takes the yarn and makes it into this, which is a blanket. You can do all kinds of things with knitting and crocheting, but these are prayer shawls. And so people, while they're making these, they often pray for whoever is going to get them. But then when we hear about a need in our community, when there's somebody going through a hard time, when somebody is about to have a surgery, which would be Neil. So Sawyer, your grandpa, Neil, is having surgery tomorrow to have his second knee replaced, right? The second one. Yes. And we also have another prayer shawl here for Miranda Franklin, who is one of Calvin's friend's mom. So Calvin's friend's mom had surgery this week, and we want to bless hers as well. So we've got these prayer shawls that people knit and crochet. We hear about a need, and we give one to them. But what do we always do in church before people take these and give them to people? We pray over them. That's exactly right. So we pray, I usually pray up front a little prayer, but then we pass these around. And this is my favorite part, that every single person at church, they touch it and they say a prayer or a blessing over the prayer shawl so that whoever it is, whether they're recovering from surgery or they're going through some kind of treatment, cancer treatment, or maybe they've lost somebody and they're really sad, that when they have this blanket on their laps, you know, you can kind of set it on your lap like a blanket, or you can maybe put it around your shoulders like a little shawl to keep you warm. But when they have this on their shoulders or their lap, that they not only feel the prayer shawl, but that maybe they can feel our love and our care and our prayers too. And so that's why we pray and bless these, because life can be hard sometimes. And so to know that people love you and care about you, that can help a lot. So Sawyer, why don't you leave this on while we pray for this? And maybe Brantley, can you hold that one? And we'll pray for these prayer shawls, and then we'll pass them around and let everybody hold them. Good morning, God.
Good morning, God.
Thank you for today.
Thank you for today.
Thank you for each other.
And
thank you for our church.
Thank you for our church.
Thank you for the prayer shawls.
Thank you for the prayer shawls.
And for all the people who give yarn.
For all the people who give yarn.
and knit and crochet them.
We ask that you would bless Neil
and Miranda in their recovery, and that as they feel these prayer shawls on them, that they would also feel our prayers, our love, and our care. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you for coming up this morning. I will take these back and you can deliver them after church so that now you can go to Children's Church with Jane. You're going to fall asleep with that on? I think that would be a good idea. Thank you for coming up. You can go with Jane to Children's Church.
The Old Testament lesson is from Deuteronomy chapter 18. Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. This is what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, 'If I hear the voice of the Lord my God anymore or even again, see this great fire, I will die.' Then the Lord replied to me, 'They are right in the way they have said. I will raise up from the prophet like you from among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words that the prophet shall speak in my name, I myself hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods or whom presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God." Let us read Psalm 111 responsibly. Hallelujah. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. In the assembly of the right in congregation. Great are your words, your works, O Lord, pondered by all in the majesty and splendor mark your deeds, and your righteousness endures forever. You cause your wonders to be remembered. You are gracious and full of compassion. You give food to those who fear you, remembering forever the covenant. You have shown your people the power of your works in new lands and nations. The works of your hands are faithfulness and justice. All your precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever. Because you sent redemption to your people and commanded your covenant forever. Holy, awesome is your name. The fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. Good understanding. God's praise endures forever.
According to Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. They went to Capernaum,
And when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not one of the scribes. Just then there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I've been thinking this week about the game of hide and seek, and although I know I played it as a child, most of my memories come from playing hide and seek as a babysitter or as a nanny. Right, in these cases, it was much more about making it fun for the children, not picking a hiding place that was too hard for them so that they could find me and be excited and proud that they found me. Or me being the finder, and even though I usually always knew where they were because their little toes were poking out from under the drapes or their giggles gave away their hiding spot, I always pretended not to be able to find them and to make a big deal about it when I did. And even as I'm talking about it now, I have a smile on my face. But then something happens when we get older, when we reach our teenage years, and when we become an adult. We still hide, but there's no seeking, and there's no finding. We learn to hide the things about ourselves that we feel ashamed about, that we feel afraid about, that we feel afraid that if someone found this out about us, what would they think of us? What would they do? In teenagehood and adulthood, we hide because we fear judgment. We're afraid of what others will think or say or do. And let's face it, too many of us have been picked on or bullied. And so if we're different in any way, we've learned that in order to protect ourselves, we hide it and keep it tucked deep inside. Well, in the gospel lesson for today, Jesus' public ministry in Mark has officially begun. Jesus has been baptized. He spent 40 days in the wilderness being tempted. Last week, he called a few fishermen to follow him. And now he is teaching. It's the Sabbath day, and he's teaching in the synagogue. And as he is there, there is a man with an unclean spirit. And until he encounters Jesus, all of those present were unaware of him or his challenges. He likely blended right in because he had gotten pretty good at hiding his struggles. How many of us find it difficult to discover those around us who are suffering or struggling? We hide it so well for so many reasons until we can't. I've learned over the years, especially these past few years in ministry, that so many more people are struggling with things that we can't even begin to imagine. Yes, they might look like they have it together, but we have no idea
what people are going through, the pain that they're carrying, the suffering they endure, the battles they fight every single day. And so this man in the synagogue struggles with what we nowadays would likely call mental illness, and he comes to Jesus. And when he comes to Jesus, he can no longer hide his struggles or his suffering. And I think partly it's because in encountering the person of Christ, in encountering God, he encountered love and grace and compassion so powerful that all of the reasons this man had for hiding his struggles lost their power. Right? Perfect love casts out all fear. I think this man can no longer hide his struggles when he comes to Jesus, partly because he must have been so tired from carrying such a heavy burden for so long, from hiding parts of himself for who knows how long. And when he was in Jesus' presence, he must have felt that he could let go and find rest. And I also think that this man can no longer hide his struggles when he comes to Jesus, because maybe for the first time in his life, he felt safe enough to be himself without hiding anything. In the presence of Christ, he was safe from judgment. He was safe from harsh words, and he was safe from harsh actions. Right? Jesus' words of rebuke weren't to the man, because his mental illness doesn't define him. Jesus' words were to the mental illness. This man's days of hiding were over because he had been found by Jesus. And when Jesus found him, Jesus freed him from his fears, from his shame, and Jesus offered him help, grace, love, compassion, hope, and wholeness. One of the things that I see people hide over and over again is mental illness. And it breaks my heart because it shouldn't be this way. We don't have to hide our asthma if we have asthma. We don't have to hide our diabetes if we have diabetes. We don't feel shame for taking physical illness medications. We shouldn't feel shame for taking mental illness medication. But the truth is, there is still so much stigma surrounding mental illness and its treatments of therapy and medication. As followers of Christ, we need to not only actively care for and support those with mental illness, we need to actively work against the stigmas, against the shame, and against the lies that still surround mental illness. Did you know that 1 in 5 U.S. adults experience mental illness? And 1 in 6 youth ages 6 to 17 experience mental illness? Let's just say there's 60 of us here today. I think there's more, but for the math, let's say 60. 1 in 5, that means 12 of us here struggle with mental illness. And how many of us feel like we have to hide it, even when we're with our church family? As followers of Jesus, there are several things that we can do to mirror Jesus, to reflect him, so that those struggling do not experience fear or shame or judgment in our presence. First, openly acknowledge the true depths of these invisible illnesses. Just because they are invisible doesn't mean they don't exist, and doesn't mean they don't put the people that experience them in anguish. Our children, our neighbors, our friends, they're grappling with mental health issues, and they need to know that God does not love them any less for it. And they need to know that we don't love them any less for it. They need to hear that they are embraced by God's unfathomable love, no matter what. Second, not only should we not use judgmental words and actions, we need to speak up against them. There are countless people who are afraid to see a counselor or take medication for their mental illness because they're afraid of what other people will think or say. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that a counselor or therapist is for crazy people, or that somebody thinks they have the will enough to not need a medication when they're struggling with depression or anxiety. We have to actively speak against these lies. Because as followers of Jesus, we are called to imitate him. We're called to support people in their struggles, not judge them. Just as this unnamed man felt safe in the presence of Jesus, people should feel safe in our presence, not afraid or ashamed. Because the truth is that God loves all of us, and there is nothing that we can say or not do to cause God to love us any less. God doesn't love us any less if we have a mental illness, just like God doesn't love us any less if we have a physical illness. We also must embrace and encourage the benefits of therapy and the use of medication when helpful in supporting and sustaining mental health and wellness. I'm not ashamed to tell you that I have two mental illnesses. Daily, I struggle with anxiety and PTSD. And daily, I take 3 medications to help manage those. And I've been seeing a counselor for over 18 years now. In fact, I have 2 counselors right now because I'm doing 2 parallel kinds of therapy, one to help me with my PTSD. If you are struggling, get the help you need, please. There's no shame in asking for help because it doesn't mean you are weak. It actually means you are incredibly strong and courageous to ask for help if you need it. There is no shame in taking medication for mental illness. Just like someone with diabetes doesn't have shame for taking insulin, or someone with high blood pressure doesn't have shame for taking the high blood pressure medication. There is no shame in taking medication for mental illness. And if you have medication, please take it as prescribed. Don't skip doses. Take good, kind, and loving care of yourself. And if you're struggling and you need a counselor, reach out to one. And if you need help, reach out to me. I can help you find a counselor. And if making an appointment feels too daunting, let me know, and I'll help you make that appointment. Brothers and sisters, we must seek ways to erase the stigma surrounding mental illness, so that we can continually love everyone compassionately as the children of God that they are, so that those who are struggling don't have to live in fear and they don't have to live in shame. We need to change our hearts and our attitudes toward mental illness so that people don't feel the need to hide who they are in our presence or in our church. As followers of Jesus, this is hard but faithful work. The Holy Spirit will equip us to do it. Let's close in prayer. God, you are full of love and compassion. And today we pray for those who live with mental illnesses, for those crippled by depression and anxious feelings, for those who suffer from the highs and lows of mood swings, for those who are tormented by voices and hallucinations, for those who find it difficult to cope with the tasks of daily living, and for those who struggle with suicidal thoughts. God, you are full of love and compassion, and we give you thanks for the courage of those who live with mental illness. Thank you for the patience of family and friends who support them. And thank you for all of the health professionals who work to bring healing and peace to their lives. God of compassion and wisdom, help us to identify mental illness as the disease that it is, that we might have courage and wisdom in the face of ignorance and stigma. Guide us as we seek to overcome fear, acquire knowledge, and advocate for compassionate and enlightened treatment and services. May we come to understand the interconnectedness of mind and body and spirit in bringing about health and wholeness. Give us wisdom and insight as individuals, as your church, and as a society to be people in places that are safe and compassionate, so that no one would have to hide here or in our presence. May you form us to be people and places that look like you, Jesus, and reflect your love and compassion to all people. Amen.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, the eternal Father, the life of life, truth of the true God, human. For our sake, was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and buried. On the third day he rose again. And in the scripture, he ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again, glory and the living and the dead, and kingdom. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we celebrate Christ embodied in human form, we pray for God's blessing on the church, the world, and the creation. Loving God, we pray that your example of teaching with confidence and authority builds up your church in love. May all church leaders and teachers honor your instructions and model your inclusive ways. God of grace, receive our prayers. Renewing God, we pray for all of creation that waterways flow clean and clear, natural spaces are protected, and our planet is healed. Let us commit to thoughtful care of the earth. God of grace, receive our prayers. Justice-seeking God, we pray for those in government and community leadership that they lead with peace and compassion. May they remember that every human being is created in your image and is loved by you. God of grace, receive our prayer. Compassionate God, we pray for all in need, those who have known rejection and who struggle with long-term illnesses or chronic pain, and any who suffer, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, Bonnie, Chip, Teresa, Scott, Kara, Joe, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those who we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our heart. God of grace, receive our prayer. Still speaking, God, we pray for our congregation, for its artists and musicians, for all educators and caregivers, that all gifts are used to care for those in need and to live in your example of accompaniment, gospel witness, and love. God of grace, receive our prayer. Eternal God, we remember all who have been teachers, mentors, and companions in the church and in our lives, especially Daisy Ward Huffman, Connie Carrick, and Ad Dorset. We trust that all who have died rest in your loving care. God of grace, receive our prayer.
Knowing the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, we offer these prayers and the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you. Thank you. God of all creation,
all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts that we may be the world's shine. Your gracious presence, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
At Jesus' table, there is enough room for all. Come and see. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. O God, we give thanks you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as we pray Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us achieve our mission together. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose to provide worship and Christian education in response and loving action for a needy world.
Thank you.
Go in peace, proclaim the good news. Thanks be to God.